السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Broadly speaking, we human beings work on two principles. We have desires and we have fears. Every human activity can probably be classified as one of these two things. It is seeking to fulfill a desire, or it is seeking protection from a fear. Everything. All careers, all education, the space program, all research, all development, everything can be classified in these two categories. Seeking to fulfill a desire or seeking protection from a fear. The upside of this is that it's a wonderful thing. It is very inspiring. This is what drives the global economy. This is what drives our own lives. This is what drives our life goals. This is what gives us satisfaction. This is what gives us happiness. The downside of it is also this is what produces stress. This is what produces depression. This is what produces all kinds of global conflict. Now the question is, therefore, let me give you a couple of examples. For example, you might have a child who wants to be an artist, who wants to paint. So this is a desire. The child would like to be an artist. But usually, not always, but usually, the parent's reaction is what? What is the good of doing art? What money can you make with art? It's only dead artists whose paintings are sold for $5 million. Van Gogh's Sunflower sold for $5 million after he died. A pauper. So forget about art. Become an engineer. So now, the child wants to fulfill a desire, but what supersedes is the fear of the parent. And so, therefore, the child is condemned to a life which is joyless and which is pointless. Blessed are those who break out of these boundaries and who do not allow themselves in their dreams to be ridden over by somebody else. But that also comes at a cost. It's not easy. It's very difficult. Many times you would have seen in my consulting practice, I'm a leadership consultant and I specialize in family business consulting. I've seen many instances, I also do executive coaching, I've seen many instances where people are stuck in dead-end jobs. It's not going anywhere. So I asked them, why don't you leave this job? He said, oh my God, I don't know what will happen. So what will happen? Did you ever try leaving the job? No. So why are you afraid? This is a story. Same thing with marriages. Same thing with relationships. Same thing with education. I also coach youngsters in terms of their careers and so on and so forth. And how many times have I faced youngsters who say, I have no interest in engineering, I have no interest in medicine, I have no interest in whatever he's doing, but I'm doing it because my parents are forcing me to do it. And why are the parents forcing them to do it? Because of a fear. Now, therefore, what's the solution? I'm sure many of you have heard various speakers and philosophers and gurus tell you that you must have a life that is free from desire. You would have heard desire. Now I'm saying the illogicality of having a desire to be free from desire. I mean, this is... desires and fears are ours. There is nobody in the world who is going to be free from desire or free from fear. So what must we do? My solution is, have only one fear and one desire. Nothing more. The problem is because we have many desires and many fears, and that is what causes the confusion, that is what causes the conflict, that is what causes all the turmoil. But if I have only one desire and one fear, then there is no turmoil, there is no conflict, there is no confusion, there is no nothing. And therefore, the point of focus is not the absence of desire or the absence of fear, because that is not logically impossible, but reduce it and bring it down to one desire and one fear. What desire? What fear? Listen carefully. What desire? What fear? The desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So I'm bringing it down to even from 2 to 1, because effectively if I say I want to please Allah, it means I fear displeasing Allah. So it is only one. Bring it all down to one. And then you find that you have a life which is full of tranquility and full of harmony and full of peace. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about this so-called secret of happiness, which is reduce all your desires to one, reduce all your fears to one, one desire, one fear only, the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And as I said, if you combine these two, it is really only one. But how will we have this? How will you develop this desire to please Allah and the fear of displeasing Allah? This is the essence of taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is usually translated as fear of Allah. If you read the Quran translations, you will find ittaqullah, this is fear Allah. Now my submission to you is that fear is a negative emotion. Fear produces hatred. Fear does not produce love. Ask your child who does not like a teacher in school, who fears a teacher. Do you love the teacher? No. Do you obey the teacher? Yes. Why? Because he will beat me. But do you love the teacher? No, I don't love the teacher. Fear produces hatred. But what did Allah say about the believers? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about us? May Allah include us among the believers. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, but the believers, they not only do they love Allah, أَشَّدُّ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love anyone and anything else. So how do you put these two things together? How do you put the khashyat of Allah and the love of Allah together in one place? And that is the concept of taqwa. Taqwa is to fear to displease the one I love the most. So that's where the fear comes and that's where the love comes. It's not fear of Allah, it is fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why do I fear to displease Allah? Because I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how do you love somebody unless you know them? It's not possible. I mean, logically speaking, you cannot love someone you don't know. You need to know. So how do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by understanding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even introduced Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect of understanding who He is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصدعا خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily if this Quran were to be revealed on a mountain, the mountain would humble itself and would disintegrate into dust. And we give these examples for people so that they will reflect. So the first and foremost thing to develop the love of the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts is to reflect on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself. And you know all these ayats. And Allah said, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يصبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. And there are many more ayat in the Quran which talk about the glory and majesty and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself anew, let us go and read that. Let us go and allow that to sink into our hearts and minds. Bismillah ta'ala, if Allah gives me the tawfiq and the ability, we will talk more about this going forward. But this is one way in which we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can love Him. The second way is to focus on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us. What did He bless us with? Now, in a general sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for example, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ ثُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. In Surah An-Naba, you know all these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the earth, He mentioned the mountains as pegs which hold down the tectonic plate so that the earth doesn't shake, that there are no earthquakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned our sleep, Allah mentioned our spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the crops that we grow and the garden we grow and so on. Allah is mentioning in general His ni'mat. Allah is mentioning His blessings that He blessed us with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all of these are questions. Alam najal, have you not seen? Do you not know? So let us reflect on that. Let us reflect on the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. You live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. I came here 2 days ago. And the first day we drove from Boston, we got home, we saw this beautiful greenery everywhere and beautiful clean water and so on and so forth. The next day I got very inspired and I went on a walk which I have taken before, except that was 22 years ago. And that walk was 8.2 miles and I did that in 2 hours and 10 minutes, which is pretty good saying. And then after that I was flat. But I'm saying this is fantastic. Imagine,
We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, that we live in an environment which is so beautiful and so clean, and you see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere. I saw migrating monarch butterflies. They fly from Canada all the way down to Mexico. I took pictures of them. Butterfly. Again, more of this later, inshallah. And then, my brothers and sisters, among the ni'mat of Allah, among the blessings of Allah, there will be those that have names. There will be those that have names. Your spouses, your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, your friends. Go and thank them. Go and thank them for being in your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yashkuri nas, lam yashkuri Allah," kama qala alayhi salatu wasallam. The one who has not thanked the person has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us very clearly that we need to be thankful and grateful to Him. Now, what happens when we make this into our principle of life? One desire, one fear. The desire to please Allah and the fear of displeasing Allah. What happens, inshallah, almost then, is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Jibreel alayhi salam and announces to Jibreel alayhi salam that I love so and so by name. And Jibreel, you also love that person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel also loves that person alayhi salam. And then Jibreel alayhi salam announces this to the inhabitants of the heavens, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, and the inhabitants of the heavens love that person, and love and respect for that person is then established on the earth. And vice versa, the opposite is also mentioned in the hadith, which is if Allah does not like somebody, then the same thing happens the opposite way. Now my point is, think about this. If Allah loves you, do you think you will be successful in life? If Allah loves you, do you think your business will do well? If Allah loves you, do you think you will have good health? If Allah loves you, do you think you will have good children and good spouses and so on and so on and so on? And if Allah does not love you, if you are engaged in something which incurs the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what and how is your effort or the help of anybody ever going to help you or me? As I always remind myself, when you, Islam is very simple. Very, very simple. Don't complicate your life. Very simple. Become those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And how do we do that? One wish, one fear. This is the title of the khutbah. One wish, one fear. The wish or the desire to please Allah, and the wish and desire never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of displeasing Allah. The desire to please Allah and the fear of displeasing Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to live our lives like that, where we are completely and totally focused on pleasing Him and on never displeasing Him. Every decision we take, this is the criterion on which we must judge it. This thing which I am going to say, this thing which I am going to do, does it please Allah? If it pleases Allah, I do it. If it does not please Allah, I don't do it. If I don't know, I find out. That's it. Only three possibilities. I know it pleases Allah, I do it. I know it does not please Allah, I don't do it. I don't know whether it pleases Allah or not, I find out. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives like this and to fill your lives with barakah and noor. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you for coming for Jumu'ah for this masjid. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this masjid, to protect this masjid and protect all the masajid on the face of the planet. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as, to give you that special moment in Jumu'ah when Allah accepts the du'a of the person who is asking, and ask Allah to give you that moment in this Jumu'ah, inshallah, and to enable you to ask whatever you like. And then I ask Allah to give you from what He likes to give you, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة